ask.fedorachief.com/federaldrive.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
Our special guest today is Robin East, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Information Systems and Chief Information Officer at the Department of Treasury. Robin, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, you are considered a new CIO in the government, about 4 months since you came to Treasury. Give me a sense, how are things going?
I'm having a great time. As with any new position, there's always a different combination of circumstances that one has to acclimate to in order to function productively. So I've spent some time on that learning curve. You know that I'm new to federal government, so that is an addition to the learning curve. Overall, though, what I find is an interesting and frankly exciting mix of opportunities to make a difference in how IT is managed at Treasury. Yes, we have some challenges. Budgets are getting smaller, but that's really when good management is most needed. So I look at that as part of the opportunity.
Very good. I mean, it's always tough to come in, especially as you said, when you're new to government, and there's so many acronyms and so many ways things are done. And give me a sense, because you came from an academic setting, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and government's a lot different from that job. Give me a sense of how those two jobs are very different. And also give us a little sense of your background. Where else have you worked?
I did spend 6 years just prior to this at Carolina, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and then about 7 years before that at George Washington University, obviously here in D.C. So there are certainly more similarities of process and compliance with a public university that's part of a state system and therefore state government than with a private one like GW, although compliance activities do consume a larger percentage of resources in federal government than anywhere else I've been. So, I think that's a difference. The academic environment, too, is predictably a more open and less structured one, which is not necessarily always conducive to best practices in IT management, because that requires consistency, predictability, and structure. So that's a challenge in the academic environment that is perhaps a little less a challenge here. Also, being on a campus where one's immediate customer base includes not just faculty and staff, but also students, brings a different dimension to how support is provided. So that's sort of a comparison with academia. Prior to that time, I was in state government in Texas for about 16 years, primarily in IT management, although I was lured into a broader role a couple of times and then came back to IT because that's where I'm happiest.
I was going to say, it keeps sucking you back in because change happens so quickly and they always need a good manager to come back and right the ship sometimes.
That does need to happen. And then there are always opportunities. A new person with a different perspective, you know, you're going to focus in on where the opportunities are that your background and experience give you the ability to notice and to improve.
You made a really interesting comment about an academic environment, more open, less structured. It's a big challenge. I know talking to other CIOs, for instance, at NASA or at NOAA, some of the more scientific agencies across government, they face that same kind of challenge. Coming to Treasury, where things are much more, if you will, nailed down, did you find that's a tough move, or does that actually make things easier on you because you knew what the standards were and you knew that they just need to be applied?
I don't think that is a challenging part of the move, because process and structure is sort of a natural part of an IT manager's mindset, or should be, if you will. So that part of it actually feels very comfortable.
Did anything surprise you about the structure? For instance, the Federal Information Security Management Act, FISMA, I'm sure you know quite well now, or maybe even some of the other things, for instance, the way acquisition works. Did those things were they a bit of a surprise? Or because you spent so much time in state government, you kind of used to the process by which you have to buy things or secure things?
That's exactly right. State government is not terribly different. And because I had information security responsibilities before, I was familiar with FISMA and some of the cybersecurity compliance requirements, because we try to model our own security efforts in my last position according to those very good standards.
Give me a sense of how you came to Treasury. Was it a job that you saw posted and you said, oh, time for a change, maybe I'll apply? Did someone recruit you?
You know, interestingly, I did just find the job posted. and it was of interest to me.
That's great. I mean, sometimes you hear, there's one CIO who told me a story about how they were a pilot and there was a job at the FAA and they thought, oh, the perfect job. So it was always interesting. Now, we talked a little bit about this, but let me just ask you, let's go a little deeper. There's obviously some similarities between your current job as Treasury CIO and some of the previous ones you held. We talked about how state government's not terribly different. Did you come in and find yourself that the job was kind of had a lot of things that were recognizable?
There were some characteristics that we actually discussed during my consideration, the Treasury's consideration of me and mine of Treasury. The structure of a large research university, as an example, with its large and often separately funded graduate and professional schools that operate fairly autonomously, is not all that different from a structure like Treasury's with its bureaus. There is the same need in a position like mine for a certain level of collaboration for the sake of efficiency, while still understanding that there are varying missions and being able to allow for accommodation of the differing needs of each of those components. So that is one rather striking resemblance, I think.
Obviously, coming to the government, there's lots of challenges. You talked maybe about a few. Was the acronyms the biggest one, or were there some other things that when you've been through this first 4 months, you kind of still scratch your head sometimes?
I'm still learning, obviously. No one would ever be in a job like this for 4 months and say, oh, yeah, I have it all down pat now, right? The processes and guidelines, you know, in any new environment are things that have to be the acronyms. There are certainly many of those, but no IT person can be terribly critical of that because, as you know, IT has its own language full of acronyms as well. So it's just a different set. I do want to say that I feel very fortunate that I have in my management team a depth of experience that has certainly assisted my coming up to speed. So I'm very appreciative of that.
So when you came in, did they give you a big book of all the acronyms you had to remember or all the life of a CIO, you know, all the different laws and policies and regulations that apply to you?
I did have briefings for those things.
I've seen actually, I was in there's a CIO class that program when the Good Government Groups puts on, and I got to sit in once and I got to see a sample briefing, and you had some late night reading, I'm sure. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about what you're doing at Treasury and some of your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Robin East, the Chief Information Officer of the Department of Treasury.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Robin East, the Chief Information Officer at the Treasury Department. Now, Robin, before break, we talked a little bit about your background, how you came to Treasury, and how things are different and similar from your previous jobs. Now that you're at Treasury, your whole 4 months, what are you looking to get done? What are your priorities over the next 6 or 12 months?
I sort of wear two hats here, so let me speak about each of those briefly. First, I have broad oversight of Treasury-wide IT activities and the approximately $3 billion in Treasury-wide IT investments and programs. In this part of my role, I'm overseeing IT reform activities like the Treasury's plan for data center consolidation. My staff and I also work closely with OMB to ensure that our program review process is as meaningful as possible and gives us the insight we need to keep our success rate high and our risks low. We will continue to focus efforts on that process. In addition, I have active collaboration with the CIOs and Treasury bureaus, working with them to identify new opportunities for collaboration across Treasury and also on the governance of our already shared initiatives. Specific efforts wearing this hat include implementation of an enterprise content management and collaboration platform that will support some cross-Treasury functions. It also includes consolidating some identity management functions across Treasury and also enhancing our data analytics about components that make up our IT infrastructure so that we can better understand further opportunities that we may have for efficiencies. Then, I also oversee an operations shop that serves a variety of customers, from individual components within Treasury to Treasury-wide to other agencies within federal government. We operate a line of business for HR systems that's used by a number of federal agencies and is expanding rapidly. So a focus within that operational responsibility is to bring the organization to a higher level of maturity using a set of IT best practices that are very well known in our industry, known as Information Technology Infrastructure Library, or ITIL. And in addition to that, to continue to evolve the structure of the support organization so that we make sure we're best positioned to serve our widely varied customer groups.
All right. Sounds like you got a couple things going on there. Let me start with some of the work around the IT reform. Obviously, data center consolidation is a big, big issue across government. Every agency's got some plans for it. How many data centers do you have? How many are you looking to get down to? Give me a little sense of the tact you're taking.
You know, I don't keep all of those numbers right on the top of my head. I believe the number is in the 40s. That we have, and we have in our immediate schedule to close 5.
Is that going to be difficult, or is that something that's going to be fairly straightforward? Because, again, if you have a fair amount, closing 5 is not a big chunk, but it's still going to save you money and save and become more efficient.
Absolutely. Obviously, the first round, as usually happens with efforts like this, is probably the least painful. We're well on our way to having those closures done, and then we're planning for the next round.
As you close them down, are you finding that you can just move that data, those servers, to other data centers? Or are you taking it to the cloud? What's happening to those 5 data centers?
It's a combination of options. We certainly are looking to move things to the cloud as we have those opportunities. But in some cases, it is more practical, at least as a near-term step, to move servers or to go from separate physical servers to more virtualization of servers. So it's a variety.
And I know we'll talk cloud later as well, but I know that's a very popular focus for several agencies. One of the other things you talked about was a more active collaboration with CIOs and the bureaus, governance, shared initiatives. That includes that implementation of enterprise content and collaboration platform. Give me a sense of what that's about. Is that a SharePoint? Is it another type of software? Are you not sure yet?
It is already there and in production. It is a SharePoint 2010 platform. And we have a number of business processes that we are automating there, particularly those where we need to have workflows that cross Treasury.
Can you give me a sample? I mean, like, for instance, procurement or finance or even something more mission critical?
The first thing that we stood up is the process of creating and editing and finalizing correspondence that is at the executive level.
I'm sure that's one of those things that's going to take a lot of time out. Instead of passing paper or emailing with attachments, it's, hey, here it is. It's easy to find. And are you also, you talked about ID management. Are you adding a digital signature piece?
We're not doing that yet, no.
What are some of the areas you're going to look at for enterprise content and collaboration platform?
Just in terms of the general collaboration platform, we are looking at the needs of some of the regulatory reform entities and the need to share information there. So we're working across those entities, both inside and outside of Treasury, to bring an efficient solution for them.
Okay, I know that's a big area with the new bills and new laws that come out. I'm sure that keeps you guys very, very busy.
We're doing a lot of support for those right now. Yes.
I imagine so. Let me jump over to data analytics. That's a huge issue across government, again, because of the data deluge that every agency is facing. You get all this data in. How do you make sense of it? Are you looking at software to help you do those analytics? Are you looking at a series of software? Give me a sense of where you're going down that path.
The specific effort that I mentioned in my list of priorities is really about gathering more information within systems that we already have about components of our IT infrastructure. This takes us back to data center consolidation because we're just looking to have more granular data about what's out there across Treasury so that we can look for opportunities for additional efficiencies.
So in some ways, it's almost like an inventory you're doing of your systems, of your software, of your hardware.
It is part of our program review process already. It's just we're changing the way that we bring the data in from the bureaus so that we can take a better look at it.
Okay, fascinating. That's great. And then let me jump over also now to, you talked about the operations shop. Now, you mentioned the HR systems. That's HR Connect, one of the shared services for across the government. You said that's expanding. Give me a sense of where that's heading, because that's a big initiative that I remember from previous years where a lot of agencies were shutting down their HR systems or moving their data to HR Connect.
We are working with two large federal agencies. I'm not sure of the status of the agreements right now, so we'll just say two large federal agencies who are looking to come onto our platform.
And currently, has the platform changed a lot? I know you've only been there 4 months, but have you seen some changes over the last couple of years or so in terms of how it provides services?
I think that what I've seen in the initiatives that are current right now is just to expand around the periphery of sort of core HR functionality and improve some of the components that perhaps were not as user-friendly as desired. You know, we're replacing a component here and there just to provide better service to our customers.
I know that, again, HR Connect was one of those that got a lot of attention. You guys became a shared service provider. So I'm sure that as belts start to tighten and budgets start to really, you know, as we see the 2012 and 2013 budgets come out, more agencies are going to say, okay, do we want to replace our HR system or do we just want to move to someone like HR Connect? Is that part of the plan for you guys in terms of to make sure you're ready in case of that interest that people want to move to and greater number of people want to move to you guys?
We are certainly trying to keep, and that's another thing we'll mention when we talk about operations, is we're just trying to preserve the flexibility to be able to accommodate expanding that service.
I know, it's so important because I know, for instance, that Office of Management Budget was saying just recently, you know, this is a time for IT really to show the ability that it can bring, not just because, you know, it's IT, but because of the savings and efficiency possibilities. Before we take another break, let me just ask you one other thing. You mentioned ITIL, and that's a very popular standard to improve performance management. Are you guys just at the beginning stages of implementing ITIL, or is that something that you guys have been doing for some time, and now you're kind of giving it a little bit of a kick in the pants?
There are already ITIL activities in various parts of Treasury, but there are other parts that have not gone there in any kind of a formal way yet. And so what I'm doing within the operations shop that I run is starting a formal program to put some things in place and form an example that I hope to be able to expand to other areas of Treasury as we go forward.
So I know ITIL is obviously about improving performance management in many ways. Is there one specific area that you're focusing on first, or is it the type of thing where you just kind of spread it across all aspects of IT?
It's impossible to address it all at one time. I've done components of this a few times before, and you always have to look at the needs of a particular organization and perhaps where you have the greatest opportunity to improve service management in the short term and start there. We have chosen, at least preliminarily, to focus on service catalog, to do a better job of describing our services and our service levels and put some more standardization to that.
All right. It's probably a pretty good one with the interest in HR Connect and other areas that I know Treasury provides in, for instance, the Bureau of Public Debt. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some more priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Robin East, the Chief Information Officer of the Department of Treasury.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's capacity services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Robin East, the Chief Information Officer of the Treasury Department. Now, Robin, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities. We talked about some of the programs you're working on, and the old cloud computing came up, of course, because that's a big push across government. But how are you using cloud computing? Give me a sense of that. And maybe some other emerging technologies, including, you know, maybe mobile computing.
Treasury was the first cabinet-level agency to move its primary web presence to the cloud. We have also moved other components of our services, like our FOIA request process, to the cloud. With regard to mobile computing, we were just recognized in an article about the top 10 apps that are changing government. Treasury actually has two of the 10. IRS has IRS To Go, where taxpayers can check on refunds, sign up for tax tips, and services like that. And then the Bureau of Engraving and Printing has launched iNote, that's E-Y-E, a mobile app that aids the visually impaired by using the device's camera to capture and analyze images of currency and then announce its value.
That's fascinating. Obviously, that's something that's been in the works for quite a while, but do you see other similar apps coming from Treasury in the near future?
I do. We're actually having conversations with CIOs just later this month about other opportunities they see and other things that may be in the works that may not have risen to that level of visibility yet.
Now, when you do these apps, are you trying to do them obviously for iPhones, for Droids, other Windows-based devices, or are you focusing on one specific set and then you'll kind of expand as needed?
It varies from one app to the other, just I think based on environment and skill sets and all that. But obviously the hope would be that we would be able to make those as ubiquitously accessible as possible.
And as far as cloud goes, let me switch back a little bit. You talked about moving FOIA requests to the cloud. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at, there's a lot of talk about email as a service. They're talking a lot about some of the other kind of low-hanging fruit, if you will, for cloud computing. Are you starting to look at that as well?
We are certainly in conversation with agencies who have moved email. We want to make sure that we understand all of the issues that they have faced as they transitioned. What our direction will be on specifics like that, we have not determined. But the important thing, I think, is to keep our eyes open and look for opportunities.
No RFP coming from you guys quite yet for cloud.
Not quite.
All right, the vendors can pull back a little bit. All right, very interesting in terms of the cloud stuff is something obviously we'll continue to follow as it goes through. Let me shift a little bit. Treasury has been playing a much bigger role over the last 5 or 7 years in the homeland security, the terrorist, you know, fighting terrorism, global war on terrorism. One of the things you guys have played a big role, terrorist financing and information sharing. Give me a sense about what your office is doing in terms of improving systems and data accessibility in those specific areas.
Those classified intelligence systems are actually centralized under the Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence, TFI, for whom we provide support. We have expended considerable resources over the last several years in modernizing and enhancing the capabilities of those IT systems that are used to identify and stop terrorist financing. A notable recent accomplishment is the recent sanctions imposed on Libya, for example. We had a large part to play in that. We also participate in the intelligence community information sharing environment, as you mentioned, and my office is represented on the CIO Council for the intelligence community and through that forum and some others in which TFI participates. We're staying aware of information sharing initiatives, and it gives us the access to federal and international intelligence information sharing collaboration platforms, and gives us the opportunity to know about intelligence community sponsored tools.
Do you foresee, I know there's some, always some sensitivities around this type of thing, but do you foresee new capabilities or anything that's going to kind of be pushed up from your office from a technology standpoint?
No, I don't.
Okay, because obviously this is an ever-changing field, so I just wasn't sure if there's something kind of on the horizon. It's always nice to talk about. Let me move over, because one of the other things, because you're new to your office, let me get a sense of your office itself. How many federal employees do you have? How many contractors? I think you give us a glimpse of your IT budget. Just remind us again, what is your IT budget for 2011?
The IT budget is around $188 million for 2011. We have about 160 federal employees, and our contract number obviously varies a lot as project needs vary, but it hovers around 200. The important thing to recognize, though, is I want to go back to something that I described to you earlier. These numbers are not necessarily meaningful unless you understand the widely varied customer base that we support. So when you think of a federal government line of business, for example, compared to, you know, Treasury-wide functions, compared to services to individual groups within Treasury, such as, you know, as we support the stand-up of regulatory reform entities, for example. Our challenge is just to make sure that we keep the organization flexible enough to be structured so that we can give good support to all of those groups and be as productive and as efficient as we can be.
One clarification, you mentioned your budget was around $188 million. That's just your office's budget? Because isn't Treasury's IT budget much larger?
Oh, of course. I'm referring only to that operations component, if you will. I mentioned earlier that IT programs across Treasury and the investments that we oversee as part of that Treasury-wide responsibility is just a little over $3
billion. Right, and you guys are one of the biggest from an IT spend perspective across the government outside of probably DOD. We're almost out of time, but before I let you go, let me ask you one question I always get is about from vendors. I know who they listen to the show, and they always like to know, okay, how does that CIO like us to work with them? So give me a sense of what should vendors know about working with your office?
I think the first thing to be aware of is we are very actively participating in the initiative to increase engagement with vendors and make sure that we're having productive conversations. What I usually like to tell the many folks who contact our office is I'm happy to receive an email with capabilities in this space, but you know, there's a limit to how much of that any one person can absorb, or one office can absorb for that matter, so please be aware of that.
Very good. And meetings, you sometimes take vendor meetings, or do you have someone on your staff who kind of works that area?
My staff obviously do take vendor meetings as appropriate. I take some, but I tend to limit mine to the vendors with whom we already do business, because that's a good demarcation line for me to get the vendor perspective on services they're already providing, but not to get myself into the space beyond that, because that's a volume that I can't absorb.
Yes, it would be quite a bit of volume. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. This has been fascinating. I really do appreciate you coming on. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Robin East, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Information Systems and Chief Information Officer at the Department of Treasury. Robin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jay.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Beth McGrath, DOD's Deputy Chief Management Officer.
Secretary Hale and I, we're doing the evaluation piece, if you will, of the efficiencies. Once the efficiencies were identified and booked in the budget, we're doing the follow through to say, well, you know, what's your plan to get there? And then we'll be tracking and monitoring those as we go through the 12 fiscal year.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com.